You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast. Your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. And today we have a special guest on the phone. Mike Vorkunov is going to join us. He is a writer for The Athletic, a site that everyone should check out. He covers the Knicks. Mike, thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, I always happy to come on.
And today we're going to be talking about a couple different college players. March Madness is right around the corner, and we are two teams who are very invested in the future of a young stud that's going to join our team at some point in the coming months. But first, Mike, let's talk about the rest of the season and being teams that tank. Now, I know that the Knicks have been dedicated to this for quite some time, and they're doing a great job, really. Any team who wasn't interested in the championship should be tanking for Zion, because he's like the best thing that has happened to college basketball probably ever, right? If I watch ESPN, that's true.
He has been very good for making people like me who don't have the time to watch college basketball during the course of this year. I try to carve out some time if I can. Like, I was watching Duke over the weekend and how they did in the ACC championship just because I wanted to see Zion play.
And so when you're watching a team that is clearly invested in a pick, what do you have as a suggestion for Timberwolves fans as far as how do they make basketball, how do they make watching the Timberwolves more interesting than watching college players they think will be on the roster in a couple months?
I think it's the same thing you do if you're a Knicks fan and you watch the Knicks right now. It's trying to see the upside and trying to see what's real in the players that are on the team right now and how you think that can work, you know, next year, the year after that, and all the seasons where you expect to have relevant games in March and April instead of kind of, you know, the void that they're in now, right? Like, you're looking to see, okay, can Karl-Anthony Towns do this for a full season? Is, you know, what is Andrew Wiggins going to be next year? Like, that's what you're trying to look at right now. And, I don't know, glean pieces of information that will tell you something about how they might be able to play when the Timberwolves games matter, basically, right?
Exactly. And on the flip side, it can be so frustrating when you have a guy like Hezonja or Derrick Rose, who might not be on the team next year, win these games. Like, Hezonja gets the block against LeBron, or Derrick Rose hits some shots in overtime against Washington. And it's just like, why are we winning this game at all? Why, what is the point of this? What is to be gained from this win? It's so frustrating all of a sudden, because you do want certain players to play well. I don't want to see Towns not play well, but at the same time, having other guys who I know don't matter on the team probably for the future play well and actually win games can be one of the more frustrating things.
Yeah, I think that matters probably a little bit more for the Timberwolves than the Knicks right now. The Knicks are so ahead of the curve and being bad that they still have a three-game buffer, you know, essentially, despite beating the Lakers the other day, which they followed up with, I think, a 34-point loss or something like that in Toronto, right? The Timberwolves are a little bit more in a murkier area where they're fighting for crucial lottery odds and draft pick standings with a bunch of teams that are kind of clustered around them.
That's true. The Timberwolves have not quite mastered the art like the New York Knicks have yet. To all the fans who right now are scraping their nails against chalkboards because we're talking about losing, and basketball teams who are paid money to play basketball should not talk about losing, what do you have to say to those fans?
Not everyone can be the Warriors or the Bucks. They've got to be losers. This is the way that it works. And when you're in a binary sport, it just is. If you lose a lot and you don't win games, then you have to start looking towards next year. By now, I would think that if you're a Timberwolves fan, it would be kind of a familiar theme, right?
You would be so surprised with how accustomed some fans became to winning after one playoff berth. It really does fascinate me. There's a lot that have just been bludgeoned after years of being bad and after that 14-year run of not making the playoffs. But for a lot of fans, 1 year means that this has to be an annual event, just like Christmas or their birthday.
Look, I can't blame you. You know, you got to think optimistically, right? You got to have expectations for yourself.
I mean, I suppose it's hard to be optimistic when you start the year with Tibbs and Glenn Taylor at the helm of any ship. But I guess, you know what, some people just aren't as cynical as myself. So I got to give those people props. They still look at things and find joy, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if I was a fan of a team, I would probably be a little more optimistic. And at some point, the cynicism kind of just overwhelms you. But you hold out as long as you can.
That's also, I feel like, a facet of the work that we're in, is we're extra critical and skeptical of everything that we see.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Hey, you know what? It comes with the terrain. It comes with the job. Well, hopefully for all those Timberwolves fans listening, you're still listening, and we're giving you some reasons to try and be hopeful. This is, I mean, I'm definitely pointing to the most successful aspects of people or teams that tank. But if you look at teams like the 76ers, or even more recently, teams like the Kings, who were bad for a little while, and now with draft picks and with some more savvy moves, maybe a different team and a different GM and a different coach at the helm, now stuff is starting to turn around with young assets. I mean, with the way that college players, the top tier college players, are coming into the NBA and not only making an impact, but adjusting so quickly and really fitting in to the NBA game. The way that guys who are in like that 3-4 kind of hybrid spot, or like combo two guards, can slide in and find success so quickly in the NBA, it really does make top tier draft picks so much more appealing, because they can have such a, it seems like now more than ever, they can have such a big impact so quickly. And maybe that's just because the game is so fast and favors scoring so much that it makes it easier for them to jump into a team and make an impact.
Yeah, maybe so. You know, I think there's kind of like probably a muddled hit rate on that, but it does seem that when you have guys who are able to make that transition right away, like Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, you know, it becomes clear, and that's kind of the whole appeal of trying to maximize your odds at as good a pick as possible, right? So you can get first dibs on those guys in the draft.
We are going to take a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to talk specifically about who we're going to watch in this draft, in this March Madness coming up with the draft so soon. We're getting ready with March Madness. First, some sponsors. Did you know you can fill out a tourney bracket at DraftKings this year? That's right. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone is filling out brackets during the tourney. Might as well do it on an award-winning app with tons of free prizes. For the first time ever, DraftKings is offering a bracket battle promotion with $64,000 in prizes. You know how the bracket works. Before tip-off, the first game of the tournament, you pick the winner of every game, every round. That's all there is to it. And the best part is, you can play free with the code DRIBBLE. You can even set up a private group for you and your friends and compete for bragging rights. Who doesn't want to beat their friend in the bracket challenge? I know I do. I know I don't, but I try every year, and you should try as well. Download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com now. Use code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. $64,000. That's code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battle for free, only at DraftKings. You're giving away money. You are literally giving away money if you don't try this for free with the promo code DRIBBLE. The game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Colt Molesky here. We've been talking with one of the writers. He covers the Knicks for The Athletic, a website you should all check out. Mike Vorkunov is with us on the show today. And Mike, obviously, Zion is the prize at the end of this season, but let's just pretend, try not to have a heart attack here, but let's just pretend that Zion is not on the Knicks. It is not an option for the Knicks at the number one pick. Phoenix or Cleveland somehow get it. Mike, are you still on the line? Hello, are you okay? Are you okay?
I think I'll be fine. I'll be okay if that's, not the end result.
Well, if you are not looking at Zion, who are a couple guys that you have your eyes on here going into March Madness? Who are a couple guys that really have stuck out to you? Obviously, you don't cover college, so you're probably going to do more in-depth research leading up to the draft. But who are a couple of names that really kind of have stuck in your mind outside of Zion going into March Madness?
You know, I like R.J. Barrett. Obviously, he's a high-volume scorer at Duke. He plays alongside Zion Williamson, and I think he's probably kind of more of a consensus number one pick coming into the year than Zion even was. And he's got a lot of upside. He seems like an interesting guy, like someone who could be a potential 20-point-per-game scorer in the NBA. John Morant, the Murray State point guard, is really interesting. He's a very good athlete. I'm sure, like, we've all seen highlights of him and his explosiveness and just how dynamic he is, or apparent. And you want to see how it translates from playing at Murray State to a higher-level competition. And we're going to see that this weekend in the tournament. Guys like DeAndre Hunter at Virginia are interesting. Cam Reddish at Duke. Jarrett Culver at Texas Tech. I got to see him play at Madison Square Garden when Texas Tech played Duke there in December. And, you know, I've seen a little bit of North Carolina play, and I like Obi White, their point guard, their freshman point guard, and he's done some interesting stuff. And, you know, I want to see how those guys play in the tournament. Nazir Little, who was maybe a top five pick heading into the year, and just see how all that translates against better competition. I don't think that how they do over the course of a few games in March is the best case for analyzing and projecting them right going into the draft. You always want a larger sample size if possible, but there's some value to be seen to how they can play against probably better competition per game than they did at, you know, during the regular season.
Absolutely. And as for March Madness, I usually tell people when I'm talking about March Madness prospects that this tournament should be used to kind of solidify some ideas you had about players and not come up with brand new theories about players, right? Like, if John Morant goes out in the first round, your new theory shouldn't be, oh, well, he had six turnovers in this game, he can't handle the ball, and he can't handle the spotlight, and he turns it over in the spotlight. No, that shouldn't be it. But if he goes into the tournament and there's, like, maybe the drive, that little hesitation move that he has to get to the basket and open up the lane, if that works seven times, maybe you say, oh, yeah, that does work against better opponents. It's not just guys in the Ohio Valley. So I look at the March Madness tournament as a way to confirm a couple of things you probably already know about a prospect, not come up with a whole new theory and color an athlete an entire different way.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, it's for all the reasons you said, right? Like, you want to see what they've been doing all year long, and you shouldn't use it. Like, this isn't, we've seen too many guys who have a nice March and then they get drafted higher because of it. And the overall lesson we get from it is, oh, maybe that wasn't real what we saw for a two-game span, because that can happen where someone plays well for a few games in a row. It's not this positive what you see in March, but maybe it's confirmation bias, if you want to say it like that, of what you saw during the course of the regular season. That's a better way of examining these guys and how they're playing.
I do like the idea of when you're on a team like Duke and you have three guys on there, Zion, RJ, Cam Reddish, I like the idea of in a crutch time spot against a really good team when maybe they're down by four. I like the idea of a one and done type of scenario versus as far as the game you're in, kind of showing which player is going to really step up and want to take over a game. And I think that that's a way to maybe learn something about some of these guys. Like, if and UNC is in a tough spot, does Kobe White really kind of lock in and he becomes the guy who just owns, like, the next seven possessions? And maybe you thought it was going to be a guy like Cam Johnson, but maybe Kobe White steps up. I don't know. There's certain scenarios where you can learn a pretty good deal about a player, and that's mostly just the mental side. Okay, this guy wants to be the guy you're putting a lot of the onus of whether they win or lose on. And that can be an interesting aspect. And so if I'm looking at this and if I'm the Timberwolves here and there's a way where you can maybe sneak into the 10-9 spot in the draft and maybe Cam Reddish is there, if I see where he's on a team with RJ Barrett and Zion Williamson, and when they're down by three and he just destroys the next six possessions, I don't know. I think that tells me a lot, because when you have a shallow draft like I think we do this year, that 10th pick, you can either make a home run or you can totally whiff on a few guys. And so seeing a couple things like that, maybe it sway a team in one direction or another.
Yeah, I think that's generally true, right? You do want to see them play under pressure, and this is the biggest pressure scenario for all these guys this year. And I think that's accurate, because it's probably the closest way that you can come to making it seem like an NBA environment, right? In terms of the eyes that are there, in terms of the talent level on the floor, and because you want to see how everyone interacts in that environment, right? The hardest thing to do, I feel like, when you're trying to analyze guys and when you're scout, is come close to replicating the environment they'll eventually play in. So this is an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, definitely. I had one question for you kind of before we head out here. As far as obviously you're going to be in that one or two spot, but as far as just guys in that kind of 4 to 8 range, like the Kobe White, DeAndre Hunter for Virginia, Keldon Johnson for Kentucky, Cam Reddish, was there anybody that stood out to you there, or anybody you're looking to kind of prove some theories that you have about them in this March Madness tournament, kind of in the back half of, because I guess the lottery this year, you really think it's 1 through 8. It's not 1 through 15. It's 1 through 8 this year, it feels like. And so on the back half of that new kind of lottery standard, is there anybody that you're really watching close?
So I want to see DeAndre Hunter play more. Obviously, Virginia hasn't been successful in the tournament of late, and I think he was injured last year, so he didn't even get a chance to play. I'm curious, and I know it's not it's right at the top of the draft, but like, I want to see Ja Morant play. I want to see Jarrett Culver and Cam Reddish, see what they can do, and guys like Kobe White, because I think he came a little bit off of the radar, at least in terms of the top 10 pick going into this year. So those are the guys I'm really interested in, and I think should be worth watching if you're picking somewhere around 8 to 6 to 15 type of area, for me at least.
Yeah, I'm excited to see DeAndre Hunter as well, just because with that injury, I think that you kind of missed a big part of Virginia, and I feel like a lot of people kind of forget about that last year, but this year, it'll be really interesting to see him in the tournament. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see what he does and how he changes that team. And I am I have been shaking everybody I possibly can in excitement for Ja Morant. I'm so happy he's in the tournament. I've been watching, you know how many games of the Ohio Valley Conference I've been watching this year? People think I have no life, and they're right, because I'm watching all these Ohio Valley Conference games, but I was watching those games right up to the tournament, cheering for Murray State because I wanted them to make the tournament for sure, and their opponent, Belmont, ended up making the tournament anyways, but they were for sure in with an Ohio Valley Conference championship, and so I was watching that game really closely. I cannot wait for Ja to be in this tournament and to maybe surprise a couple of teams with some March Madness wins by propelling this team further into the tournament.
Yeah, I think he's one of the guys I'm most interested in watching too. Like, it's going to be fun. Obviously, the Duke guys and how they all interact with each other, Cam Reddish especially, I think he's probably had the roughest year of the three. But Ja Morant, I want to see Kobe White, I want to see, like, those are the ones you keep an eye on, especially at the point guard position.
Cam Reddish, he signed with Clutch Sports like 2 years ago. He knows he's in the LeBron fold already. He doesn't have anything to play for. He's just sitting back. He knows that at some point he's going to end up on the Lakers and get money. This doesn't matter anymore.
We'll see if you're right.
Well, that's it for me. Thank you so much, Mike, for coming on. Make sure you're checking out his stuff at The Athletic. Appreciate him coming on very much. And thank you to the listeners for choosing the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.